You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
I want to thank you guys for these past 3 days. They've just been so refreshing to the cynical old preacher. This is real church here, and you let me be a part of it for these days, and I'm so thankful. You have no idea. When the service is over, I'm going to stay and talk to some of you a little bit down here, but I'm not staying for lunch. It's not because I think you're ugly and your mother dresses you funny. It's because I have grandchildren in Dothan, and they trump everything else. And you should know that. Again, thank you for this time. We've been talking about Lent, and Lent, by and large, is pretty dark, isn't it? It's a time of repentance. Starts with ashes. Starts with being down, of looking at yourself, of going over your sin and recognizing your great need for a Savior. But it's all done because the bad news leads to the good news. If you were here yesterday, and I know who wasn't, if you were here yesterday, we talked about the good news. The good news is that you're lonely. That's a good thing, because God has created you for himself, and your hearts are restless until they find their rest in him. But the surprising thing is that God is lonely too. Not in a needy sense, he has no needs. But the Trinity is a manifestation of that loneliness, and the Incarnation is a manifestation of that loneliness. That was the good news. For the next few minutes, I want to talk to you about the really good news of Lent. I have a friend who's a pastor in Memphis, and he said the problem with the church is the smudges on the window. And I said, what? And he said, the problem with the church is the smudges on the windows and where they are. He said, in most churches, the smudges are on the inside, and they're made by the nose of the brothers and sisters who have their nose pressed to the window, looking at the pagans having a good time and wishing they could join them. I get that. I've been a Christian a long time, but not so long that I've forgotten how much fun it was to be a pagan. And sometimes my smudge is on the window on the inside. And he says, when we have smudges on the outside of the windows from unbelievers looking inside and seeing what's happening inside and wishing he could be there, then we have revival. I think that's a good point. I really do. If you were with us Monday night, I talked about the prodigal and talked about the taste of the wine and the sound of the music. And we should never forget the taste of the wine and the sound of the music. We're the only religion in the world where faithfulness is promoted with a party. And sometimes we forget in our efforts to be serious and good and nice and obedient that all of that has been done for us. And now we can celebrate and laugh and dance in front of the throne. I could have picked 1,000 texts for this time this morning, but I went to a well-known one in 1 Peter, and I'm going to read, and you know it, probably have memorized it at some point in your life, verses 9 through 10. And this is what Peter writes. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. What's the really good news of Lent? It's not only that we're loved, but now we can love other people. You know, we're here for them. If the Bible is true, and I have it on good authority that it is, once you come running to him, you never leave, because he won't let you. He'll never leave you in the dark and will never say, I've had it with you. He is not angry at you, and it's an eternal kind of thing. And I don't know about you, but as I get older, and old is not a good place to be. If it doesn't hurt, if it doesn't work. It's a time when you get tired at times you didn't get tired before, when you're grumpy, when you were only a little bit grumpy before. I don't know why Jesus didn't just take me home, but he didn't. Because of you. But more important, because of them. And we're called to love them. The gays and the lesbians and the leftists and the rightists and the conservatives and the liberals and the trans and every race and every sinner and every brothel and every bar. We're called to love them. And the really good news is that you can. I'm going to give you a principle. Well, maybe two principles. The first principle is that love in response to your goodness is not love, it's reward. You can't experience love until you don't deserve it. And the second principle is this: you can't love until you've been loved, and then you can love only to the degree to which you have been loved. Bill and Gloria Gaither are the real deal, and I sometimes do things for them and love them a lot. They tell a wonderful story of being in a farming community and having a concert that was packed out. And at the end, a family came in, and the man in the family looked like he would rather be any place on the face of the earth than at this concert. His arms were folded, he was scowling, he didn't laugh at any of the fun things, he didn't sing at any of the songs. And they sang, I am loved, I am loved, and now I can love you. And he didn't sing, he just sat there like this. And then Bill said, take the hand of the person next to you and sing that. I am loved. I am loved, and now I can love you. And he refused. During the break, the Gaithers and all the singers that travel with them were all laughing about that man sitting on the front row. And so when they came back, they sang some more, and then they decided to close with that song again. He said, sing, I am loved, and now I can love you. and they began to sing. And he said, reach out and touch somebody. And then Bill said he looked and Gloria was making her way down the stairs of the platform over to that man who had been so angry and upset. And Bill went, oh my, this is not going to end well. And she reached out and grabbed him and hugged him. And he broke down and began to cry. I don't love easily. People tick me off. I get angry sometimes and I struggle with that sometimes, but I'm learning to be still, especially at Lent, and let God love me so I can love them. There's more really good news. Not only are you loved and you can love other people, you are forgiven, really, of that sin you never told anybody and nobody knows about. The horrible thing that you think you've never been forgiven for, the thing that embarrasses you when you think about it, you're forgiven. You don't even have to confess it anymore. You've done it 8,000 times. Quit it. He forgave you the first time. You're really forgiven. You're really free. And the principle works here too. You can't forgive until you've been forgiven. And then you can only forgive to the degree to which you have been forgiven. That's why some of the best Christians I know are the biggest sinners I've ever met. Because they've been forgiven much. And Jesus said it in Luke 7 with the prostitute, forgiven much, loved much. A number of years ago, a friend of mine stole $75,000 from our ministry. I'd never been betrayed by a friend before, never. I've been betrayed often by acquaintances, but a friend never did that to me, and I was mad as I was mad. And I found out on him Friday, and I remember thinking, I'm gonna kill him, I got a gun. $75,000, that's gonna kill our ministry. I'm gonna kill him. And then on Saturday, I decided I can't do that. I'm gonna pray that he die. And then on Sunday I said, I can't even do that. Jesus, you kill him. It'll hurt my reputation if I do it. And on Monday, listen, I sobbed for my friend. In fact, if I spend more time on this story, I'm going to get emotional. And I thought, oh God, what in the world happened to cause him to do that? And I forgave him totally and completely. The really good news is you've been loved and forgiven. And now you can love and forgive other people. And I have a third point. When you've been loved and you love others, and you've been forgiven and you forgive others, you're free. Thank God Almighty, you're free at last. Pastor told me not too long ago, I don't know how, Steve, you get away with saying the things you say. You offend everybody and somehow they don't throw rocks at you. And I say, if you would say those things, they would love you too. And he said, not a chance. And the reason he can't is that he hadn't been loved enough and forgiven enough. I think I maybe told you I was teaching at the Graham Center at the Cove. And we were talking about this earlier. And I said, the reason I don't drink and I'm a teetotaler is because if I got drunk, I would say exactly what I think. And a guy sitting in the front row, and it was highly inappropriate, stood up and put his hands on his hips and said, and you don't do that now? I do, because I'm free. Thank God Almighty, I'm free. There's a story about Lincoln going down to the slave market and purchasing a young woman as his slave. I don't know if it's apocryphal or not, but it certainly sounds like him. And he won the bid, and she was his. And she was angry. And they walked off together, and he said, young lady, you're free. She said, what does that mean? He said, it means you're free. Does that mean, she said, that I can say what I want to say? And he said, yes, you can say whatever you want to say. Does that mean, she said, that I can do whatever I want to do? And Lincoln said, yes, that's what it means to be free. You can do whatever you want to do. Does that mean, she said, haltingly, that I can go wherever I want to go? And he said, yes, you can go wherever you want to go. And she said, then I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go with you. That's the good news. That person who drives you nuts, you can now forgive. The people who are unlovely, the Democrats and the Republicans, and the people you won't have Thanksgiving with because the family is so divided, now you're free and you can forgive. You don't have to. But something happens, and you do. Number of years ago, we interviewed, we do a talk show. They say it's not a podcast, it was a broadcast. Nobody knew what a podcast was when we started, but we're on 300 stations across the country. And mostly, sometimes we sit around and talk, but mostly we interview authors who've written books that we think are significant. And I'd met this guy who had Alzheimer's, and he was still reasonably cogent, and he had written a book, and the title was intriguing. You know what it was? I'm Beginning to Miss Me. It was one of the most listened to interviews we've ever done. And our producer had to spend hours editing because he lost his way and put it together. And we got more response from that interview than anyone we've ever done. And we've interviewed a lot of famous people. And you know what he said in the interview that I'll never forget? He said, when the doctor, after the test, told me I had Alzheimer's, I was scared to death, and I thought, I can't do this. And then Jesus came, and he said, child, when you walk into the mist, I'll walk with you. He does that. So it starts with ashes, and it ends with dancing. Because no matter where we go, no matter how much it hurts, no matter how much we sin, no matter how angry we get, no matter how lonely we feel, no matter how many doubts we have, the good news, the really good news of Lent is that Jesus says, when you go, I'll go with you. You think about that. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.